All right, in John, the third chapter, I want you to look at this as if it's the first time that you've ever read this. And verse 16, can everybody hear me okay? All right, John chapter 3 and verse 16, we'll read down through verse 18, says, "For God so loved the world." Say, that's me. So He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Now, I love this verse in 17. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world it might be saved." Amen? That's why God's not mad at the world. He loves the world. Amen? You know, it's hard to win people to Christ if you're mad at them. Amen? But I find it's the love of God that draws people to Him, even to this day. Verse 18 says, "And he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned already, but he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, I want to look at the Message. If you bring that up on the screen up here, I want you to see this in this particular translation. I really like this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed, by believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger. I like that. Telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because that person's failure is to believe in the one of a kind Son of God when introduced to Him. Praise the Lord. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, I haven't ministered on this in any Easter service that, to my recollection, I might have referred to it before, you know. And generally speaking, on an Easter service, you know, we go to the Scriptures about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, most of us know that here, don't we? Okay. But I want to talk about what happens after that, after the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And I want to talk about today, actually, believing in God's love. Believing in God's love. Many times believers struggle in their faith towards, their trust. How do I trust God for this thing? And how do I trust God for that thing? And my back hurts. I need a new refrigerator. How do I trust God for that? That's where most people are at, right? Car broke down. It needs fixed, right? And then I want to show you the connection between believing in the love of God that He has for you as far as bolstering your confidence and your faith and what He will do for you. In fact, what He already has done for you. Now, if you go over to 1 John, if you would, 1 John, the 4th chapter. I love that scripture. God's not He's not having an accusing finger pointed at the world. Amen? The way that you win people over to Christ is showing them how much God loves them. Amen? I would say 99% of the time where the Lord has directed me to talk to somebody about Jesus, it always, always starts with a kind remark, with a loving remark, letting that person know, hey, do you know how much God loves you? Because you know what? People are tired of hearing bad news. I mean, you just turn the television on, you're going to hear bad news, right? But, you know, people are void of good news. But I tell you, God has given us the good news to share the love of God. I'm not talking about a cheesy way of doing it. God loves you. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about from the heart. From the heart. That's where the power of God is. Like, do you know that God loves you? How can they resist that? How can they resist that? They can't. They can't. Now, they may not give their heart to Jesus right then and there, but let me tell you something. They have to go home at night and they got to lay down on that bed and they're going to think about those words that were said. The power of God's love. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, Whosoever, there's that word whosoever again. We just saw that in John 3, didn't we? What's whosoever? Everybody won't, anybody can, somebody will. Everybody won't, anybody can, somebody will. So it's up to us, right? I'm a whosoever, so I decide I'm going to believe this. It's the same whosoever in Mark chapter 11. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, right? Say, I'm a whosoever. Praise God. Well, I thought my name was this and this. You're a whosoever too, amen? Because that means you have the power of choice. Glory to God. You have the power of choice to receive God's love. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice this, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? That's more powerful than a nuclear explosion, praise the Lord. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, it's just that simple. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Oh, my, my. Then God dwells on the inside of you. Notice this. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Think about that. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We can have actual boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no condemnation. Amen. Now, I want you to notice in particular here today, the 16th verse. It says, we have known. How many of you have heard of the love of God before? How many have known about the love of God? All right. It says, we have known, notice this, and believed. See, there's a difference between knowing about the love of God, but also believing in the love of God. In other words, having confidence, having faith in the love of God. Now, this is exactly what I want to talk about today. Why is it that so many people have a problem believing that God loves them? Okay? So many people have a problem believing, Christians I'm talking about, having a problem believing that God loves them unconditionally. Now, here's the first fact that I want to bring up today about God's love. It's not enough to know about God's love. It must be believed. There it is right there. Amen? It's not enough to know about God's love. It must be believed. So why is it that we as human beings sometimes, as believers, have such difficulty believing in God's love for us? Well, a lot has to do with not understanding unconditional love. A lot of us, well, in fact, all of us here, we have a past, don't we? We all have a past. And none of us here have a perfect past. Some of us, we grew up in atmospheres where there was a lot of guilt and shame, maybe alcoholism, drugs, all kind of different things, where maybe your mom and your dad weren't walking in the light of what they knew to walk in. And how many of you know that will affect you? My parents didn't get saved until I was a teenager. Do you know that? But my dad was an alcoholic. He got born again, came into God, and quit drinking, amen, quit smoking. God cleaned up his act, I'm telling you. Started going to church. In fact, he became one of my most loyal church members when we first started our church. And then just a couple of years ago, he said, I'm going to heaven. He went to heaven. Amen? But God transformed his life. But see, none of us grew up in a perfect environment. There might have been abuse. There might have been different things that were, there's no perfect parents. How many of you know that? But here's the thing that we have to realize is that we can't, as believers, as human beings, we can't always blame and stay in a continual state of blaming the past. My parents did this, and they didn't do this, and they for an excuse to live the lifestyle that you're living now. Isn't that true? And God wants us to be able to move forward into his fatherhood for us. Amen? Let me tell you something. What we didn't get in our first birth, we can get in our second birth. Amen. What was lacking in our first birth because of the way we grew up, we can get in our second birth. Amen. And the Father, God, the Father is the greatest Father of all. You know, I'm obviously a father, but I'm not a perfect father. There's no perfect father. But I know one who is. That's our Heavenly Father. And I'm doing my best just to hang on to Him and walk with Him and to do what I see Him doing, to speak what He wants me to speak. Amen. And that way I can be a greater influence of the people around me. Amen. And I'm telling you, the most powerful thing in the world today is a knowledge and a belief of the love that God has for you. Peter said, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Remember that? Somebody called it the Peter principle. You cannot give somebody something that you don't have. He said, "Such as I have, I'm going to give it to you." The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, "When I came to you and I preached the Word of God to you in all the churches," he said, "I didn't hold back anything that was profitable to you." Think about it. That's love. Paul said, "I'm not going to hold back nothing. I'm going to, whatever God has given me, I'm going to give it to you." And he wrote it down in most of the, 3/4 of the New Testament. Hallelujah. But that's what he told the believers back in those days. And that's why we have letters from him to understand the power of the revelation that he had to help us now. Amen? Now, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've just gone through lately. You don't understand the last year that I had. It was hell on earth for me this last year. Well, we could talk about that till the rapture comes. You know what I'm saying? We could talk about that. But here's the point I want to make is this. The power of God's love and you understanding His love, He wants to help you get out of that mess. He didn't want you to stay down there in the muck and the mire and play in the mud all the time. He wants you to come up out of that. And when you realize how much God loves you and how much God cares for you, it'll put confidence back in you. And when you pray, you'll get quicker results. Because the blood of Christ, we took communion today, the blood of Jesus Christ made you worthy, made you holy, made you spotless. That's the New Testament. So why can't we have confidence when we pray? Because we've lacked understanding of the price that Jesus paid for us, for our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. You know, back in the day, you know, when I first became a Christian, back in, when I was a teenager, I had no problem believing that spiritually that Jesus did some things for me. He did, okay? But I had a hard time at first believing that He cared about my flesh. I had a hard time believing that God cared about my finances. But until I understood the love of God that He had towards me, that God, how much more, He says, if you being natural parents know how to give good gifts to your children. Remember Jesus said that? He said, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Well, I'm an earthly father. I want to give good. How many of you want to give good things to your kids? You want to give, oh yeah, you want to bless your kids. You want them to have a better life than you had growing up. That's the nature that God put in you as a human parent. But He said, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Amen. Amen. Everybody smile a little bit here. Loosen up a little bit. I'm telling you, the love of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. Amen. And when you understand, the Bible says perfect love of knowing His love will cast out fear. Perfect knowledge of His love for you will cast out fear. Listen, you don't ever have to be afraid of nothing. I say nothing. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Nothing. Why? Because God's with you. God's in you. God's for you. See, Israel had God with them. God was for them, but He wasn't in them. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have God Almighty. We said that if you confess that Jesus is Lord, God dwells in you. Amen? Amen. Now, if that can't get you excited, nothing will. In no sports event, there's nothing that's going to get you excited as that. God Himself lives on the inside of you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. When you acknowledge that God lives on the inside of you, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no person that can keep you down. There's nothing that can keep you down. Amen? It's just like a cork that you put at the bottom of the ocean. It's always going to come up. The devil can push you down as far as he tries to, you know. But you know what? As soon as he lets go, here you go to the top again. Because God is going to raise you up. Amen? So we have known and believed in the love of God in 1 John. Amen? So So many times people have a difficulty believing in God's love because maybe they didn't grow up. And now I didn't either. My parents loved me. They cared for me. But they didn't know what unconditional love was. They didn't. Okay? There was arguing, there was bickering, there was strife, and there was things in the house that, you know, it wasn't a perfect environment. Okay? And so as you grow up, there's residue from that atmosphere that you grew up in. But here's the point I want to make, and I want to reiterate this again, is that we do not have to keep blaming our past on the way things are for now in our future. We can change that. We can change that. Now, is it going to take some work? Yeah. Is it going to take some effort? Yes. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again.
God loves me.
Oh, my. Your faith just went up another level. Your confidence. Why? He loves me. It's not like that fellow that picked the flower petal, you know, at springtime. He loves me. He loves me not. You ever see that before? Would I have got that wrong, that story, probably. But you understand the concept. He loves me. Loves me not. Loves me. Loves me not. You know my heart, don't you? No, it's I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here's the another thing is the reason people have a hard time believing in God's love is because of abandonment. Because of abandonment. Maybe one of your parents, maybe one of your somebody that was close to you, you experienced abandonment. Or somebody left you. And it left you, maybe when you were young. And see, this is where the devil likes to hit people, is in their younger years. When is the easiest time? Now, I used to do landscaping. When is the easiest time to pull up a shrub? When you first plant it. But if you go back 2 years later after you planted something, there's a root system that's going on underneath there. You can't see it. And that root system has got fingers and it's gripping the ground. And so 2 or 3 years down the road, you ain't going to go over there and pull that thing out. And so the devil knows that. That's why he tries to attack people in their younger years to make a mark on them so that they never progress in later life. And I'm here to pronounce to you that God is greater than your past, whatever it was, and he will propel you into your future. Listen, there's going to come a day when we will stand before the Father. And we don't want to be disappointed. We want to seize every God-given opportunity that God has given us on this earth to live for him and to love other people, to help other people. That's what it's all about. You know, I've done some research in the last month or two on people that have had near-death experiences. I don't know why they call it near-death. They did die. They plumb died. And they went to heaven, and they came back. Okay? And I'm talking authentic cases of this. There's some sources out there for that. And two of the things that I'm seeing a thread of commonality with all these people, men and women alike, that have come back, that had an accident or something happened, and they went to heaven, and then he came back. And there's two things that they said out of all the people, these are all different people that I've heard them say, is this, that it's a place of incredible love. Mm-hmm. The first thing they see is this massive light. And it's almost like a blinding light, but it doesn't blind you. And the light, it pulls you to the light. Jesus says, I am the light.
Amen.
Amen. And this massive light, but you walk into that, that's heaven. The beginning of heaven is that light. And the second thing is the love, unconditional love of God. And in some of these cases, these people have talked about where they didn't have an understanding at all. They were saved. That's why they went to heaven. But they knew nothing. They didn't have any, you know, spiritual growth. They didn't understand the love of God. But I'm telling you what, when they went to heaven and they understood that Jesus looked at them with eyes of compassion, and they said they've never felt that kind of power of love. It was like liquid love. And in one case, I was looking at this lady that came back. She was in her 20s, and she was taking drugs she wanted to lose weight, and she abused it, and it killed her. Okay? She's trying to be skinny like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? But going the wrong way to do it, taking pills. All right? There's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight, but, you know, do it the right way. Amen. And Well, she found herself floating out of her body. She looked down on her body, saw her body laying there. She thought, this is a strange thing. I'm looking at myself laying there, and all these people around me, the medics are there and everything. And all of a sudden, she looked to her left, and there's this massive light. It was small at first, and all of a sudden, she got sucked into this light. And she was standing before Jesus Christ. She was standing in heaven. She saw her loved ones right there to greet her in heaven. You know, and she said, you know, in her words, she had never felt that kind of love and acceptance, never before. And the Lord showed her it was like a TV camera, like a screen of her life up to that point. She was like 22 years old. And in this vision God was showing her in heaven was all the things that were significant, you know, even when she lost her first tooth and when she graduated from school and all these different things in her life. It was like a life review in a split second like that. And then the Lord showed her the things that were vitally important to him. And it says, it was like God said, put on these glasses. There was a pair of glasses there. She put on these glasses. And all of a sudden, she saw things from a different light, from a different perspective. And she began to see the things that are important to God. So when this girl came, this is making a real long story, real short. When she came back in her body and she's laying there, and she had gone to heaven, she began to realize the things that she thought were important. She said the things that were important to her was, you know, wearing the right kind of clothes, having the popularity and all this. That was what she was involved in school and those kind of things. She thought that was the real important things, but the Lord showed her in heaven. She had a transformation. And when she came back, the Lord said, no, the things that are important here is how do you love people? How do you treat people? When people are abused, how do you act towards them? People are making fun of other people, how do you act towards them? The Lord even showed her even taking care of a dog or something that's been abused or something. Those things are important to the Lord. Of course, people are more important than dogs and animals. You understand that. But she said she came back into her body and all of a sudden she had a total transformation of the value of what man deems unimportant to God is very important. And how you treat people is really important. It's the love that God's put in our heart. How we love people, how we treat them. Amen? Praise God. Well, listen, we don't have to die and go to heaven to know and experience that love. You can receive it right now on this earth. I wake up and I say, Father, I thank you today that you love me. Amen. Now, sometimes it's easy. I've heard people say, you know, I don't have a hard time loving other people. I just have a hard time with me loving myself, believing that God loves me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that way. That can change. No matter how riddled your past was, no matter how bad it was, you might have gone from family to family. I mean, you might have been an orphan, for Pete's sake, growing up, you know. But I'm telling you, the love of God is more powerful than all that stuff. And God will become a father to you. Amen? So, fact number two, here it is here. God's love isn't earned, it's received. God's love isn't earned, it's received. That is so important. The first fact was, it's not enough to know about God's love, you must believe in it. Number two, the second fact is, God's love isn't earned, it's received. Praise the Lord. Say it's received.
It's received.
All right. Well, if I just do X and X, and I do this, and I do that, and I dot every I, cross every T, so to speak, then he'll love me more. Folks, listen to me. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. You've got to have at least one amen about that. It's like I put the pause button on. Everybody freezes, you know. There's nothing that you can do that can make God love you more. That should free us up. Because God's love isn't based upon what you have done or have or haven't done. The scripture tells us in the book of Romans that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And that's the word agape, unconditional, God's kind of love. If God loved me while I was a wretched sinner, wasn't serving Him, wasn't looking to serve Him, and He loved me unconditionally, why can't I receive His love for me right now? Am I perfect? No. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Ask my kids. They'll tell you. I'm not perfect in the flesh. But you know what? I love God.
Amen.
I love my Father. I love God. Amen?
Yeah.
And this thing is so big. I remember one time when I was a kid. Actually, I was in my early 20s. Yeah, I guess I was a kid. But somebody asked me to go... caving. A friend of mine asked me to go caving in Virginia, okay? And this was not like your typical cave where you pay the money at the front gate and you get into the cave, you know? This was a private cave on a private land in the mountains in Virginia. And I was a youth pastor in a church at this time. And so I said, yeah, sure, I'll go. So it was me, the pastor, and some other people in the church at that time, and I was probably 22 or 23 years old at that time. And so I thought, this sounds like a pretty cool experience. I'll do this, you know. And so it took us about 5 hours to get there. We got up at the crack of dawn and went before the sun came up. Long story short, we got down there where the cave was, you know, and little did I realize the challenges of, they call it splunking, I guess. I just call it a caving. But you go into these caves. Now, the caves that I was used to, you know, you walk in and you look around and, you know, there's benches and there's kind of, you know, this kind of thing. But we walk into this entrance. Actually, we didn't walk into it. We crawled into it. anyway, we got into this cave, and then it opened up a little bit, and there were some bigger areas. And then we came maybe an hour into the session. We were underground for a good 6-7 hours. I mean, we were, you know, praise God for flashlights. Because when you turn a light off in a cave, you don't see anything. I mean, it's pitch black. You don't even see that very hand in front of your face. So, long story short, we get to this one section in a cave. And it, to me, in my, what I could see with my light flashing on, I said, did you take a wrong turn here? I'm talking to this guy that led us here. He said, no, this is just the beginning. And I looked and I saw nothing. I thought, this is a dead end hallway here. There's nothing here. And then he pointed down. He goes, no, look down there. In this narrow passageway. And it was only about this high off the ground. That's how deep it was. Okay? And I'm thinking, no, you've got to be kidding me. Now, if you don't like close quarters, then you're in the wrong place here. We had to literally use our fingers to pull ourselves through this cave, turn our head sideways, because if you put your head straight up, your head wouldn't fit. Okay? That's how narrow this was. And I thought, you better know what you're doing here, man. You know? Felt like you were being buried alive in that place. You know what I'm saying? So it took us a long time. It was freaky trying to get through that thing. It was so narrow. I'd probably never do that again. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if I'd fit now, but praise the Lord. The one guy, he weighed a little more. He had to take his pants off just to fit through. Okay? He's crawling through in his underwear through there. Now, it's all guys in there. You understand that. Okay? So, we're crawling through this, and all of a sudden, we came into this area after we all, there were about six guys. We got through there, and I'm thinking, thank God we don't have to go through that way again. We're coming out another way. And all of a sudden, we got into this one area, and what my lights could see was very minimal, but when we got into this other area, everybody put their lights on this one area, and it was a massive, huge underground. To me, it looked as big as like Mellon Arena or the Civic Arena. That's how big it was. Oh, underground, this big, massive. I mean, it was like, how could this something be this big and this void underneath ground, and it's all underground? And I saw, to me, it looked like multiple thousands and thousands and thousands of bats flying around. But the cool thing was, I mean, you couldn't even hear them flutter. They're flying around, you know, and they would get this close to you, and they'd go off because their radar picks it up, you know, and so forth. They wouldn't touch you, you know what I mean? But my point of saying all this is this. You think, where are you going with this story? Is you're in a narrow way in your life, and it seems like everything is closing in on you. And all of a sudden, you break into this other area that's massive. That's the love of God.
Amen.
See, God doesn't want us just crawling and screeching around. I was using my nails to pull me through that little narrow area. But you see, I had to go through that little narrow area to get to that real big area. And then just beyond that was the cave that went above ground where we left. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Okay? But see, we're so used to that narrow, tight place in our lives where we can't see anything hardly around us because we're so pressured. You see what I mean? But when God brings you into a big place, who was it? David said, Lord, you have set me in a large place. I claim that for our church.
Amen.
You set me in a large place. Amen? Because you know what? This message needs to get out to a lot more people.
Amen.
The love of God is the most powerful message that there is, for God so loved the world. Amen? Say, well, brother, how am I going to win that person at work that just seems to be belligerent towards the things of God? The only time he uses Jesus Christ is when he curses. All right? Let me tell you something. You can win people over by the attitude and the love that you have towards them. People know when you love them. They do. They know that. And I'm telling you, this world is love starving. They're hungry for love. Amen? That's the thing that sets people free, is they realize, I'm accepted. The Bible says we're accepted in Christ. We're accepted because of the blood of Jesus. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to work for it. Amen. I don't have to walk 300 people across the street. I will if I have to. But I know this. If I do something, I'm not doing it to make God love me more. Amen. Praise God. We carry an atmosphere of love with us everywhere we go. We should, and we could, and we can. Okay? So we have to be more conscientious of, Father, you love me today. Praise God. You love me. You care for me. And wrapping this up, fact number three. Listen to this. John 17 and verse 23. This is in the New Living Translation. Now, you might have to put a seatbelt on for this one. God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. This is heresy. What are you talking about? Jesus, God's Son, God loves him more than us, doesn't he? No. I want you to see this. In John 17, 23, the New Living says, notice here. Bring up that scripture there. Praise the Lord. John 17, 23 in the New Living. There it is. I am in them, and you are in me. This is Jesus praying here. May they experience such perfect unity, and that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Whew. Did you get that? Jesus is praying a prayer here. And he's saying this, and we're the beneficiaries of that. Father, show them that you love them as much as you love me. Now, for some people, they almost think that's sacrilegious, like heresy. Wait, God loves Jesus more than he loves... No, he loves us exactly the same way as he loved Jesus. No more, no less. That is a powerful thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next time you find yourself in a tight spot, in a situation where you feel fear, and you feel afraid and fear is coming against you for any given reason, that is the time to really acknowledge the fact that God loves me. He's going to take care of me. When I was in the hospital more than a year ago, and I had that threat against me in the natural, a life threat, you know what I did? I laid on that hospital bed, and I just meditated till my meditator was worn out. No, it's not going to wear out. And I just, within myself, you know, you can talk to yourself. Meditation means you talk to yourself. You do it all the time anyway. Amen? You talk to yourself all the time. Well, you might as well give yourself some good information. I said, you look stupid today. You know, bad hair day, you know? No hair day. Whatever, you know. Now, the Bible says God has the very hairs on our head numbered. Dear God. See, God made a few perfect heads and he covered the rest with hair. I heard someone else say that. But no, stop and think about this. I'm not just trying to be cute here. But I'm saying this, is if God took the time to number the hairs on your head, and I've never done that, because by the time you count them, that's going to change anyway, right? Get your hairbrush out and there's a few less right there and then a few more grow in. Praise the Lord. I claim that. And but, you know, if God has the very hairs on your head numbered, that tells me he's pretty intimately acquainted with us. Well, if he's got your hairs numbered, he knows how many cells you have in your body. And I laid on that bed and I had a revival in that place. I'm telling you, God healed me. And I laid there and I said, oh, Father. Just laying there, I said, thank you that you love me. And I would hear in my spirit, that's right, son. I love you. I care for you. The smell of smoke isn't going to be on you. You're going to get out of here. It's going to be as if it never happened. Amen. He's talking to me. We're communicating. He's talking to me. I'm talking to him. But let me tell you something. The whole thing started with that love connection with God. To realize, no matter, that's not the time to question, God, why did this happen? You know, that's not the time to do that. No, meditate. There is a devil. Okay? See, a lot of times people blame things on God. God, why did this happen? Why did you let... Listen, duh, there's a devil. I should name a tape series, duh, there is a devil. Because Satan, John 10:10, Jesus said it. He said it. He said, the thief, the devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, that doesn't mean that he can just get in there and boil over you and just tear everything up in your life. He would have done that to all of us. Amen. But he looks for doors. He looks for opportunities, namely through fear. The only doorway that Satan has in our lives is through fear. That's why we shut the door on fear, said, nope, I refuse to fear. I did that. I said, Lord, I refuse to fear. I don't care what the doctor says. I care what Dr. Seuss says or who else. You know, I don't care what they say. You love me, Lord. And your word has final authority in my life. Yeah. And I stand upon your word. See, God's word cannot fail. You have to understand that he says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that's gone forth out of my lips. In Psalms, he will not break his covenant. What he said, oh yes, he will do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Man, I preached myself happy this morning. Time to eat some chocolate bunny or something. No, I'm just kidding. No, I resist that. No, I don't. I don't know why I said that, but that's kind of, you know. Amen. So God loves you, and he cares for you, and he wants to propel you, not just creep into this. This is still the first part of this new year, the first quarter, you know, and I mean, God doesn't want you just kind of putting your toe in the water and just kind of testing, just kind of hesitantly going. He wants you to be able to go into this thing with confidence. Well, brother, I've made mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. That's okay. God believes in turnarounds. And if you have your eyes on him and you look to him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself, the scripture says, in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart? I don't know what those are, but you know what those are. Well, it's not too late for them things to come to pass. Amen? And it's by falling in love with God. When you realize how good he is, how wonderful, there's not enough English adjectives to really describe it. No wonder he had to give us a new tongue. So you ain't going to do this with this tongue. Forget it. Oh. But when we realize love, and see, God doesn't have love. He is love.
Amen.
The Scripture tells us that God is love. There's two things the Scripture tells us that God is. God is light, and God is love. Okay? Those two things are the most powerful things. And guess what? When you made Christ and you invited Jesus into your heart, His love was deposited inside you, and His light was deposited on the inside of you. Amen? Amen? And so we are carriers of this presence. In the negative realm, there are people that are carriers of diseases and things like that, you know. But we are carriers of the divine presence and the love of God. If God is love and He dwells in me, then that must make me a love person. Amen? And this, see, this world is, like I said in closing here this morning, this world is love hungry. And the way that we're going to win people to God is by simply loving them and caring for them. Okay? And I believe that revelation is going to get bigger and stronger on the inside of us as the days progress and the days move ahead. Is to focus on what are the things that are important to God. They should be important to us. Okay? Some of the things we think are so important, they don't mean anything. But it's the kind words and the deeds and the things that you do for people and helping them when no one else sees you. There's a lot of you in this room. You've done things for people no one else knows about. But you know what? You did it because you love God, because you love people. And God will reward you for that. Okay? Because you didn't do it to be seen of men. You didn't to say, oh, look at what they did, you know. Mm-hmm. You did it because out of a heart of love, out of a heart of compassion, you were able to reach out to people. And I'm looking at a group of wonderful people right now in this room. Whether you've been here once or been here 30 times, if you belong to Jesus, you have the love of God on the inside of you. Amen? Amen.